Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Face Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080, 96.5 TICFM and Light 100.5 WRCH. Aaron Kupek with you this Sunday morning, and we are pleased to be joined by Barry Alexander. He is chairman and CEO of Aqualine Drones, based in Hartford, a drone manufacturer. Good morning to you, sir.
Hi, Aaron. How are you?
I am well, and yourself?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, when people think about drones, I wouldn't be surprised if they think about devices that are made somewhere other than the United States, and here you are, a drone company that makes those devices right here in Connecticut. Tell us about how you got started.
Yes, absolutely, and that's certainly a misconception and perception that drones are made everywhere other than the U.S., as evidenced by the fact that we actually manufacture drones here at 750 Main Street in downtown Hartford. Drones are, they're aircraft. The public normally perceives drones as being gadgetry, but drones are truly aircraft, and they fall within the ambit of aviation, which is somewhat my background. And so by extension, by natural extension, going from airplanes, helicopters, maintenance in the aviation world, it was very natural that I delved into the drone industry.
And tell us, what kind of drones does Aqualine make?
Aqualine makes commercial grade drones, drones that would adapt or be capable of being used for advanced or commercial use cases, whether it be enterprise level asset inspections, precision farming, area ranching, just about anything, even military applications for sure, anything that requires a higher level of utility, a higher, skill set as far as being able to, operate the drones. These are the drones that we make here downtown Hartford.
How many employees do you have and how many drones do you turn out?
We have about 25 individuals on the shop floor, which is made up of engineers and also drone manufacturing technicians. In the stock building, we're just over we have about 55 individuals working here and about 130 in total in five different countries.
So you're multinational.
Yes, we are.
You mentioned how a lot of people might think of drones as gadgetry. Explain to us how the industry, how these devices have evolved rather quickly.
Absolutely. And that's a very, very good question. And that speaks to the public's misperception of drones, where they're perceived as gadgetry, kids playing in the backyard with drones. Over time, industry found more useful applications for drones by attaching, cameras and sensors to them, in so much that they're now used commercially to provide services to the public. Drones are unique in the sense that they add a third dimension to our traditional two-dimensional lives. That third dimension was often reserved for birds, and to now have the ability to incorporate, a third dimension or aerial perspective from multiple vantage points really creates gives a more holistic picture as far as understanding the environment that we're working and living in. And so drones have the ability to provide that to any use case.
We've all seen the photos on TV that drones can capture so easily. I've heard them used for insurance purposes to to assess damage and property. Give us an idea of some of the other uses of drones that people might not be aware of.
Yes, and to your point and question there, as far as how drones are used, the first thing that's worthy of note is that drones, you know, provide a very, very unique and substantial benefit to society. You know, when used for roof inspections, as you mentioned, there's no reason, you know, you should have a, you know, 55-year-old guy, you know, climb a ladder to go inspect a roof, which is something that can be done, you know, quite easily, and you know, using drones and also keeping humans out of harm's way. Amongst the use cases for drones, they range from, you know, asset inspections, whether it be the inspection of cell phone towers, wind turbines, bridges, tunnels, railroads, pipeline inspections, power lines, things of that nature. You also have coastline, you know, erosion inspections, wildlife reserve, anything that requires that aerial perspective or shot from the sky, you know, can be safely accomplished using drones and the associated drone technology. As far as the data capture, what's done with the data afterwards, as far as, you know, the ability to edit, model, and provide, you know, your customers with those real-time data insights, really, really provides an additive benefit to what society does.
What sort of regulation is there for drones? Can I go to the store or go online and buy a drone and make it take flight without getting any sort of certification or license or approval?
Absolutely, and that's somewhat of the crux of the problem. In that when drones were first operated as gadgetry, there was little or no need for, you know, a tightly regulated environment, a system of governance that would ensure that the public was protected. And so, you know, you could ordinarily buy a drone as a toy from, you know, Best Buy, for example. They're pretty, you know, much plug and play. So you could pull it out of the box and go practice in your backyard or in an open field. But here we are today where drones are being used commercially and requires some level of regulation to protect citizens. And so that comes through the FAA, and, you know, at the individual level, that comes through the acquisition of what's called a Part 107 drone license. And so just as you would not take a moped on the highway without having it registered, you technically shouldn't be allowed to take a drone out of the box, which is capable of causing, you know, damage to property or harm to individuals, and, you know, operate it at will.
And you at Aqualine operate at another level. In fact, you run it like an airline. Explain to us what that means.
Absolutely. And that's a good question. And that's one of the key differentiators between, you know, Aqualine drones and most of the other players in the industry. Aqualine at the very highest level is made up of primarily veteran aviators. We have a healthy mix of veteran aviators, i.e., you know, airline pilots, starting with myself, having a sort of a decorated background in aviation, flew helicopters, worked as an aircraft mechanic for quite some time, flew lots of different airplanes for different airlines in different capacities. A lot of our individuals here within the airline are also veteran aviators. We have military personnel at the general level, three and two star respectively. We also have algorithmic mathematicians, nuclear physicists, cloud architects, savvy business individuals. And so our approach to drone technology and the industry is one that is founded in, you know, basic, you know, principles that recognize safety and regulatory compliance as being pivotal and instrumental to any serious drone operation.
Certainly, Connecticut has a lot of players in the aerospace industry, a lot of institutional knowledge to draw from. Is that one of the reasons you are here in Hartford, here in Connecticut?
Quite the contrary. Connecticut used to be known as the insurance capital of the U.S. and, or if not the world, and a lot of that we've seen go by the wayside. But as you outlined, Connecticut also has a very, very rich history of aviation, with some institutional players like Pratt & Whitney and Sikorsky and Hamlin Sundstrand, Command Aerospace. They're all right here in Connecticut. So very, very rich aviation history, or aviation and aerospace industry, which I'm surprised it's not, dubbed the aerospace capital of the U.S. So from a supply chain standpoint, I would say that it does benefit us to be headquartered here in Hartford. We are on track to build somewhat of a new and revived manufacturing ecosystem, specifically for drones and drone technology. And given the opportunities that abound across the U.S., I think Connecticut has the most optimal environment in which a drone operation would thrive.
You are listening to Face Connecticut. We are talking to Barry Alexander. He is chairman and CEO of Aqualine Drones, based in Hartford, multinational drone manufacturer. Look into your crystal ball for us and tell us, knowing what you do about the industry, what are drones going to be doing maybe 5 or 10 years from now that they're not currently doing? Are we going to be getting our mail and our packages from Amazon via drone someday soon?
That would initially, drones are going to be used for services that are a little bit more beneficial. It would be nice to enjoy the convenience of having your dog food delivered by drone. But there are other use cases like tissue and organ delivery services that could benefit from a healthy and mature network using drones. In the not so distant future, when we speak of drones, we talk about unmanned aerial vehicles compared to the manned aerial vehicles or manned counterparts like regular airplanes and helicopters. There is going to be a plethora of opportunities within which drones can be used that does not require a human operator being on board, whether it be for basic transportation services for individuals, passengers, or whether it be to provide heavy and dangerous asset inspections around nuclear power plants, for example. There's a wide range of uses for drones that far exceed the current capabilities of manned aircraft, but also provide us with a more simplified way of accomplishing those missions that also has a much lower carbon footprint, and also addresses the bottom line, which by its cost comparison is beneficial.
What sort of training goes into operating a drone at the professional level?
Good question. And that speaks to a very unique training program that Aqualine conceptualized about 2 years ago. It's called Flight to the Future. And you could access that portal at flighttothefuture.com. And it's essentially an online drone pilot training program, which takes you through everything that you need to know about safely operating a drone. And it also supports your ability to get into the drone industry or business by us helping you register your own business and also providing you with work such that you could go and execute drone jobs that we procure through an app. somewhat like Uber. It's called a drone on demand app. And so when you look at the program that we have, it's really part of a larger workforce development initiative, aspiring to train in excess of 1 million drone service operators around the country, but also having 1 million plus small businesses being registered as a result of these operators owning their own businesses that we help with. And, small business being the lifeblood of the economy, that's a very good start as far as, economic recovery from the pandemic.
Certainly, there are certain tasks that drones perform where you need someone at the controls. But are there other tasks where things could be largely automated?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Large-scale deployments of drones in swarm formation, for example, that would tackle very complex use cases like forest fire prevention and mitigation, or disaster preparedness and relief. Those use cases are very broad and complex in nature, and would benefit greatly if they were approached from a standpoint of using drones in swarm formation, where they can be more effective.
When you talk about a swarm formation, would an example be what we've seen at Super Bowl shows and other kind of light displays where drones are employed?
Yes, these are somewhat similar. They operate off of computer algorithms. That's a bit different. I'm speaking to a scenario where drones have cognitive capabilities that will allow them to somewhat think for themselves, and so they're part of a team that's charged to perform a service like forest fire prevention, where you fly a drone swarm overhead that provide early detection of kindles, for example, can go to the bottom of the forest floor and investigate further, and also working in concert with ground-based drones, like spherical drones, could be directed to roll over to those kindles and detonate fire retardant, for example, repeatedly, like an aquifer, if you may. Those are some of the use cases we've delved into as far as investigating what it would take to have an efficient service of that nature. And these are some of the benefits, once realized, will help society better understand how useful drones can be to the evolution of society.
Going back to the issue of regulation, I think back to the early days of broadcasting where, anyone could set up a radio transmitter and get on the air. And then the precursor to the FCC got involved and started regulating things because there's a limited bandwidth. Are you thinking about the same thing when it comes to drones? Because I could see a situation where there are so many of these things in the sky that it just creates pandemonium.
Oh, absolutely. To that point, drone density is such that, drones are the fastest growing, sector of the transportation industry. And the fact that they share the airspace with manned aircraft is reason for concern. And in a non-regulated environment, you can see how that could be, potentially dangerous if adequate separation is not ensured between, manned aircraft and drones. And so the regulation is there for a reason. There can be a healthy integration of drones into the national airspace system, but it has to be methodical. It has to be safe. It has to be regulatory compliant. And, the public needs to have a reasonable amount of education that would somewhat provoke, deeper interest in drones, such that you would have a much healthier adoption of drones in the overall benefit of society.
Are there any regulations that you feel would be helpful that aren't currently in place when it comes to drones?
The current regulation, as far as Part 107, not requiring an exemption to do certain extraordinary drone operations, like operating the drone beyond the visual line of sight of the operator, the FAA is the Federal Aviation Regulation or Administration, which is charged with the responsibility of governing aircraft operations, is charged with the responsibility of integrating drones into society, but also protecting citizens. And so, just as the current 107 regulation is somewhat inadequate, there is an effort well underway to enhance that regulation to provide for more extraordinary operations as commercial use cases evolve and become more prevalent and become more of a convenience to society, where the public now demands certain things like basic drone delivery services.
Being a domestically based company with operations here, making some of your products here, does that give you advantages in doing certain type of work with the government?
Yes and no. And it's good that you brought that, provide that question, because there is an answer to it. In 2019, there was a bill that was championed or co-authored by actually two Connecticut senators, Senators Richard Blumenthal and Senators Chris Murphy, along with Rick Scott out of Florida, I think, that recognized, the need to have prevent the government from procuring drones made by companies, within what was called, covered countries, and having those drones be used by government, by the military, by law enforcement, inspecting our critical infrastructures, and having that information also shared or stored in foreign countries. That bill was designed to bring that to a screeching halt. And it's probably one of very few bills that received, massive, support on both sides of Congress or the House. That bill also started paving the way to provide opportunities for domestic companies wanting to thrive in the drone industry. And so, with a little bit of political will at the federal level, but also at the state and municipal level, I think the opportunities that are there in building a healthy manufacturing ecosystem for drones should be capitalized on. And I commend Senators Blumenthal and Chris Murphy for taking such a bold stance at making sure that America, not just locally, but on a national scale, tries to take its place in manufacturing dominance again.
He is Barry Alexander, Chairman and CEO of Aqualine Drones, based in Hartford. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Face Connecticut. I'm Aaron Kupek. Enjoy the balance of your weekend.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.